Tonight we ask you, Lord, that you would touch our hearts as we look to this. And Father, I pray for very special words and a touch, Lord, by you on this ending of the book of Proverbs, because it ends with a bang, it ends with a challenge, it ends with excitement, it ends with, Lord, great, great wisdom. But Lord, frankly, we have to have an appetite for it. We have to be ready to receive this. And so I pray, Father, that it's in Jesus' name that you would open up our hearts and our minds. And Lord, that as we are here tonight, may there not be any of us that would see ourselves somehow beyond, Lord, what is being taught here, though it points to a certain group of people. Lord, without this certain group of people being blessed, none of us could be blessed, Lord, and enjoy life. And Father, we ask for your hand and for your touch now in Jesus' name. Amen. Grab your Bibles then and turn to our last study tonight in the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. Proverbs, chapter 31. And I struggled over the title of the message. Couldn't find a title. I finally found a title. Lisa asked me, what title did you ever find for this message? I gave her the title. She said, no way can that be the title. But it's the title. And I want you to be encouraged. Don't be discouraged. The title of this closing message in the book of Proverbs tonight is A Walk on Water Kind of Woman. How's that? A Walk on Water Kind of Woman. We're talking about the Proverbs 31 woman tonight. And she is something. And ladies, I want to specifically speak to you tonight. Because, listen, the temptation for you tonight to look at this portion of Scripture and get completely overwhelmed is a high level of possibility. But don't let that happen. You will miss what it means. God is not laying upon the heart or the mind or the life of any of you ladies in here tonight something that's impossible. I don't know what you have learned in this chapter before in your previous readings. I don't know what you've experienced in previous church teachings. But this portion of the book of Proverbs 31 ought to excite you. It ought to pump you up, ladies, and get you encouraged because of the very structure. You're going to hear about that in a moment. The structure of these closing verses and what is being said. This is the famous area of Scripture of that Proverbs 31 woman. And here's the thing. Every man would say, I'm looking for a Proverbs 31 woman. Every woman is saying, I want to be a Proverbs 31 woman. But the thing is, people often say, where is she? And why can't I be? And so I want you to realize something right now. You may or may not know that the Proverbs 31 woman that we love and adore in Scripture is a woman who begins her life walking with God, or commences in a walk with God in her life, and finishes the course of her life. This is not some young girl that's 16 years old, or 18 years old, or 25, or some young girl that's 40 years old, or some young girl that's 50 years old, or so on. This is a life that's been lived for God, and so we look into it, learning how we ought to become. Ladies, how you ought to become. And here's the great thing about it. From all that we can gather, we remembered in our previous study, this is Bathsheba speaking to Solomon, her son, in the opening verses of this chapter. We looked into that study closely. Could it be Bathsheba now, later in life speaking, could it be Bathsheba still writing? Bathsheba, the famous, of course, mother of Solomon, and a wife of King David. And so as we look to this, this is very exciting. Grab your Bible, look at it carefully. Proverbs 31, beginning at verse 10, down to verse 31. So that's verses 10 to 31. Note this. Right here we have the beginning of verse 10, down to the closing verse. This is a Hebrew acrostic. It's a special poem. It is a special, very beautiful, very wonderful way of teaching that appears, listen church, it appears in some Psalms in the Bible, and it appears in some areas of the book of Lamentations. It now is here in our study together, and it is a Hebrew acrostic. You say, what is an acrostic? An acrostic is where the Hebrew letters of the alphabet begin with each verse, starting at the verse 10 and ending down at verse 31. And it is a, as I said, a poetic style of teaching. It's very beautiful, and that's why some scholars believe that this is none other than Bathsheba still talking to Solomon about what it's like to be a godly woman. Here's the great news. She didn't start out like a godly woman. She's the lady that was bathing naked on top of her roofs, and the king saw her, and you know the story. It's written down. It's been in movies. She didn't start out too hot. She got involved in an adulterous relationship with King David, and man, it was an interesting thing. You can read about it in the Bible. That's not on Oprah Winfrey or Dr. Phil. You can read about it in the Bible. I mean, it's right there. Wow. But listen, as we get into this, these portion of scriptures, ladies, listen, it speaks of completion and of totality. That is the acrostic, how it's constructed, the opening letter of the Hebrew alphabet to the verse, and the very sentence structure speaks about finishing your life as a woman, having pleased God, and how God has pleased you. It's going to be glorious as we look to this. And so, it is the goal, and it should be the goal, of every woman who loves the Lord. And so, it's important for us to understand that as we look at this, don't be overwhelmed and think, I'll never match up to this woman. This is a lifetime live. And we need to look at it carefully. It's a lifetime. It's a portrait. It's a presentation of a life that describes God being in control. And in the end, you can mark it down or think of it this way. These wonderful things that are said about her are the seasons of her life having been lived. All along the way, one thing upon another. We're going to learn a lot about this wonderful woman of God. And someone has asked, by the way, I won't say who, but somebody asked me today, it wasn't Lisa, somebody asked me today, why is that much of the chapter there just dedicated to a woman? I mean, why is that almost the whole chapter is dedicated to a woman? But certainly the book of Proverbs ends verses 10 to 31 all about a woman and ladies and women. And I think God gave me an answer. I think that's true. Verses 10 to 31 is all about you ladies. How to be a godly woman and a successful woman and a productive woman and a woman that's very satisfied. And I think it took the rest of the Bible for God to write to us men about how to be men. Right, ladies? And all the ladies said,
amen.
See? I told you. So here we go as we look to this. Jot it down if you're a note taker. Number one, a walk on water kind of woman. Who is this lady that is just amazing? Well, number one, she knows the value of living. Verses 10, 11, and 12. This begins now the first of the Hebrew acrostics. And it is, verse 10 begins with, in the Hebrew, if we were Hebrew and we were reading Hebrew, it begins with that letter Aleph or A in the Hebrew alphabet. Now, listen, I'm not going to keep referring to the alphabet, but just know that verse 10 begins with Aleph. Verse 11 begins with Beth, and verse 12, Gamaliel, and that's the way it goes, all the way through the Hebrew alphabet, acrostic. Now watch. She knows the value of living. Verse 10 says, who can find a virtuous woman? Most men say, I haven't yet. But that's not the answer, guys. There are virtuous women everywhere when you begin to study who she is in line with the Bible. What does the Bible say who this woman is? Church, I'm going to ask you to do a lot of circling tonight, a lot of underlining, and taking a lot of notes in the way of definition. Why? Because who can find a virtuous wife or woman? For her worth is far above rubies. The first word that we realize of who this woman is and what she is the word virtuous. In the Hebrew, the word means that she's thrifty. Isn't that interesting? She's a thrifty lady. She's a thrifty girl. She's wise. She knows the cost of things. She keeps current with the cost of living or life for her home or where she lives. You can be single. You can be married. You can be a widow. It all applies to you in this teaching. She is a wise woman. When it says virtuous, she is someone who understands that life has its dedication. Life has its discipline. And she realizes right from the start, she knows the value of living and that she is a thrifty girl about things. And that's very good. It doesn't matter how rich you are or how poor you are. You ought to be thrifty about stuff. There's nothing worse. You know, you see these ridiculous things in a Hollywood movie or something where someone's lighting their cigar with a $100 bill. Why would anybody who's supposed to be rich, I mean, you would think if you're rich, you ought to be smart. You know, what is that all about? It's ridiculous. And there are things that this woman would never do, though you will find out she could probably do anything she wanted to do. She both had the resources and the freedom to do it, that she was a very, very wise girl about things. She didn't blow her money. She was responsible. And you might say, Jack, you sound like my mom or my dad. Well, I'm not your mom or your dad, so let me have your ear for a moment. Try being thrifty and being wise and ask God, God, what do you want me to do with my paycheck? Or what do you want me to do with my allowance? For some of you young ones in here. And invest it in the things of God or be wise and save it and see what happens. But sometimes we can get money in our hand and it's like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do with this? Where am I going to spend this? How about putting it in your pocket and forgetting about it? She was a wise lady. Over the course of her life, she began being thrifty. Not only that, look at verse 11. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. She, or so he will have, no lack of gain. Well, that's interesting. What do these words mean? When the word says trust, it means that he is able to entrust into her great things. She has been faithful in everything along the way. She's a wise steward based upon verse 10. So as the scripture says that he trusts her, this is a great verse. He entrusts to her things. Money, opportunity, whatever it might be. Now, ladies, you might be saying, well, I guess it's going to be all about me tonight. Oh, just wait. It's going to be about the man, too. Because, listen, happy is the man. It says that he will have no lack of gain. Happy is the man who not only trusts his wife, but can entrust things to his wife. And listen, sir, your wife may have given you every reason in the world for you to trust her, but you're still cynical or you're lording that relationship over her. Give it up, man. Trust her. Your marriage is not some sort of totalitarian rule. That is not biblical. Trust her and entrust to her opportunity and see what she does with it. See if she's going to be a wise steward. A godly woman, her husband safely trusts in her. What a great thing that is. That he has no lack. The word means that there's no hindrances, no obstacles. There's no debt in handing her something. She's a wise girl. She's a wise lady. Her house is operating rightly. Verse 12, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. The word good here is that she does what she does with confidence and grace. You see how it's focused on not only the young lady or the woman of God, but her benefit. If she conducts herself wisely by knowing the value of life and just living right, she winds up growing into a woman that before her, she not only places no hindrances, but she doesn't place any hindrances before her family. No hindrances, no obstacles. She doesn't entangle herself in things that would choke her life. She's really wise. I hope that you sit long enough in this study tonight to come through to the end of admiring this woman. And husband, I hope you come to the end of this study admiring your wife. Are you engaged? Then maybe the person that you're engaged to. Are you young and single? You ought to remember Proverbs 31. Not to hold it up to some standard that I can't marry anybody who doesn't meet this criteria. Because again, this is a life lived. But to say, Lord God, bring this kind of person into my life. Oh, He'll do that. Ephesians, the Bible tells us, Ephesians 5:28, it says, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. If a husband loves himself, he thinks, oh, you know, I want my life good. Guys, listen up. I want my life good. I want to have a home that's blessed. Then love your wife. You want your house happy? Then love your wife. Listen, if this room was emptied out of men right now and only the ladies were here, if I were to ask, what ladies do you want? What do you want? They'll say, 90% of them will say, I want to be loved. Now, then when you get into the definitions, it's hilarious and it will go on for months. But it's this, it's flowers, or it's a hug, or it's just a note, or it's a call. It's endless. But they just want to be loved. That's what they want. They want to be loved. And so, listen, I want to issue this challenge tonight. Marriage, if you haven't found out, is a ministry. I thought God brought her into my life, dude, to make me happy. God brought her into your life to make you holy, mister. And that holiness is by you serving your wife. Serve her. Bless her. What if she doesn't appreciate it? Serve her. Bless her. You know what? You're doing it for God anyway. You're doing it for Him. You didn't think that up on your own. The Bible says do it that way. You're blessing Him. You know what? How about this? Guys, has your wife left you or has she said, I'm leaving you? Stop right there. Determine tonight to love your wife like Jesus loves the church. That is, lay down your life for her. Communicate that to her. Less in word, more in action. And if she still is determined to leave you, then let her leave the most wonderful, godly man that she'll ever know. I say that because God, I've seen Him honor that in some broken marriages in this church where, you know, she came for years and then he was a big nut and he wouldn't come and, you know, church is for losers and all this stuff. And then she winds up getting weak. She winds up getting pulled away by somebody at the company. And then she's gone. And I don't see her for about 6 weeks. But who do I see at the end of those 6 weeks? That's right. He comes in, oh, Pastor, Pastor, my wife left me. Well, why? I don't know. And I always say, you liar. You do know. Well, she kept telling me to come to church and, you know, and I wouldn't do it. And she would come with the kids and I had all this other stuff. And he's just crying and crying. What do I do to get her back? And I tell them, be someone for her to come back to. She ain't coming back to the loser that you are. That's why she left. Give her something to come back to. Get on your knees right now. Accept Jesus. Give up your life. Live for God and be empowered by the Spirit. And just love her to death. Give her a reason to come back. See, they want me to call her up. Well, she went here. She went here. I mean, you know her. I mean, I know you know her. What do you want me to do? Can you give her a call? No. Nope. No, but listen, guys, there's hope. If you're in that situation tonight, you're hurting, you're miserable, there's only one answer. Love her now, like Jesus loved the church. And she will flourish. She will blossom, and you won't even recognize your wife. It'd be incredible. She'll come back. And if she doesn't come back, let her know the next time she bumps into you that, why did I leave him? He's the most precious man in the world. And besides, you obey the Lord and you win. Second cluster of verses, which are acrostics as well in the Hebrew alphabet, verses 13 to 15, a walk on water kind of woman, she envisions opportunities. She's amazing. She envisions. She's got the eye for what could be coming up. She is really something. It says that she seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is a woman who, according to this word in the Hebrew, the word seeks, she searches out. She makes inquisition. That's the word. From place to place. Listen, I'm not kidding. I could say, based upon this verse 13, as she seeks out wool and flax and is willing to work with her hands, she'll shop until somebody drops to find a deal. She will go from place to place to be that wise woman who's a good steward of what she has entrusted to her. She's amazing. She's a shopper. It's biblical. See, ladies? Pastor said it was biblical. It is biblical. A woman has got this thing to shop. Now, I tell you what is dangerous. Now, ladies, I'm going to tell you a little bit about yourself that you don't know yet, I don't think. I don't know. It's this. Come on. Like, we got to go to the store. Okay, what are we going for? We're going to go get light bulbs or something. I don't know what it is. Light bulbs. Okay. Now, guys, if we need light bulbs at home, we pull up to Walmart or whatever, and what you get out of the car, and what do? You go to the light bulb section, and you grab a light bulb, and you walk toward the checkout stand. That is what men do. It's in our DNA. It's the way it is. Why? It's a light bulb mission, man. It's a mission for light bulbs. And that's, we get the goods, we get out victory. That's how we think, right? What about Christmas shopping? I watch the commercials for 2 months. And I go on the 24th. I pull up to the mall. I ain't leaving until I'm done. But you know what? I know I go. It's like, man, it's a mission. I'm on a mission. And I get done. It takes me about 4 or 5 hours, but I'm done. No. A light bulb mission, when we go together, somehow we walk into the store and there's a veering off course. I can hear the alarms. Guys, are you with me? Off course. Off course. Correct. 10 degrees back to aisle 9. Aisle 9. And we start, our heart starts to... What are we doing? Look at this. Are we getting this today, now? No, we already have one, but look at this one. Light bulbs. But I've seen my own wife do that thing that I'm thinking, how could God be in this? And she comes across something and it's like, look, this is what we've been looking for. Well, it sure is. Oh, look, that's the Lord. And I'm thinking, how could that be God? How could that be God in that, you know? But it works. But this woman is built and she searches out. And that's part of the amazing fabric of the way a woman is wired. And God uses that. And she's willingly, it says here, working. She's diligent with her hands. And it's a delight. The word in Hebrew means that she loves to work with her hands. We live in such a fast-paced culture. I wonder how many of our young people even know that they can work with their hands. Order it. It's online. Order it. I mean, we got a couple of keystrokes down, but what about baking a cake? Or changing the oil in the car? You know, we have Jiffy Lube now. God rent the heavens and sent down Jiffy Lube. But it would be good for us to learn how to change oil, guys, and anybody for that matter. And it would be good for us guys also to learn how to bake some bread, I think, too. You know, that'd be kind of radical. We need to learn. And this woman, she's got it down with her hands. She's not only wise and she's just a smart buyer. She shops around. But she's very productive. And this is amazing to me how she just gets going here. Watch verse 14. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. Now, back in those days, granted, we're reading something here that's 3,000 years old. What's on your lap? Can you imagine having to go? And have you ever visited a rural culture? Man, I tell you, I remember, and this is about as rural as I've ever been, but I remember visiting my grandma and grandpa on the plains of South Dakota. He was a rancher. And that house, I remember, I went there in junior high. I was in junior high, and they still didn't have... We had to go to outhouse to go to the bathroom. You know what an outhouse is? Anybody know? You go out there, and you go into the house, and that's how it was. It was bizarre, strange to me. Okay? But my grandmother would get up before anybody woke up. She's preparing stuff for the morning. She feeds this army of guys that go out to the fields. And then she starts working again for lunch. And out there in the Midwest, the big meal is lunch. They're out there farming and doing the stuff they're doing or whatever they're branding. I don't understand that stuff. But anyway, she and her entourage brings everything out to where all the men were at. And everything comes out. It's like, you know, you press a button and the car just keeps unfolding and food comes out. And it's amazing. And then they pack up and take it back and they get ready for dinner. They work hard like that nonstop. What did we ever do before drive-through? They worked hard. 3,000 years ago, this woman not only worked hard, she went and got her stuff from afar. She wasn't afraid to use the freeway. She had to bring it in. You say, well, how does that bless me? This builds character. Character is absolutely a missing link in our humanity today. Character. It comes from hard work and difficulty. Verse 15, she also rises while it is yet night, or very early in the morning, and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. And, you know, you read that, you say, well, there you go. That's how she got everything done. She had maidservants. But that's not true. She's obviously very, very resourceful, and she makes preparations to feed her entire home. Now, remember, this is a woman who grows in her life of wisdom over her entire relationship, both in, obviously, here in marriage and in her relationship with God. But, you know, you stop right here at verse 15. If you begin to consider, ladies, and meditate on verses 10 to 14, then verse 15 is probably just going to happen, because you're going to be so excited you can't stay in bed. There's so much going on. And you'll see what I mean in a moment as this unfolds. But you'll have a blessed home, a wonderful home. Before we get into the third description, verses 16 to 18, I just want to share with you, you know that I grew up in a non-Christian home, but I've got to tell you, when I read that this woman woke up early, when I woke up as a kid growing up, and I don't know how it was for you guys, but when I woke up, you could already smell the bacon in the house. And we were spoiled rotten growing up. Here's how. This is a young man's dream come true. And remember, my mom was born and raised in Hawaii, so our house was a little different culturally. Because I'll name some things that you'll say, what, for breakfast? What is that? We would wake up, and we'd come to the table, and there would be a stack of eggs on the table. There would be a bowl of what's called Hawaiian fried rice. Every morning, there'd be a stack of bacon, not a slice of bacon, a stack of bacon. And you wonder why now I wrestle with my weight the way that I do. You just took it in, and you never thought about it. I never thought about how it arrived. I never thought about my mom being up early. We just, you know, barreled out of the shower, had our books. Oh, you know, wham, 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 down it, and go. And it's not until you get older you begin to realize, my mom did that. Well, how'd you think it got there? I never thought about it. And then I thought, you know, you get married, and you wake up that first day, and it's... Lisa, what are you doing next to me here? Wow. Somebody invested time. And I, even though my mom at that time was not a Christian, she had so much of these characters and characteristics of life. It was amazing. And I just wrote down here, just in my notes, I just wrote down, this is a blessed home. And I didn't realize it. Mom, please be encouraged with what I'm about to say. I didn't realize how blessed I was until very, very much later on. And believe me, I mean later on, it was when I got out of the house. And I began to look back and think, wow. You know, your kids think that your house, you know, they don't even think about the house they live in. They don't think about how the payment even gets made. And you know what? Maybe they don't have to think about that. Maybe they shouldn't. But there will come a time, Mom, Dad, there's going to come a time when they're going to stop and look back. And you might be dead and gone in heaven. And they might say, wow, I didn't thank my mom or dad enough. As I get older, I look back at the lives of my parents, and they get smarter now. Every year I get older, they get smarter. And they were more loving than I ever gave them credit for. They were there more. My mom would not miss one of my little junior All-American football practices. She wouldn't miss. I thought every mom went to football practice with their 7-year-old. I thought every kid, you know, got a grilling from their dad when you got a B-. I thought that's just the way it is. And then I get into high school, ninth grade, and I start meeting friends. And the group of friends that I was the only guy in the group whose parents were still married. And I thought, what? Divorce? What? I didn't know this. And I grew up in a non-Christian home. There was no Bible there. They just had character. They committed to one another. Third consideration, a walk on water kind of woman. This lady, this girl, this woman, she's resourceful with what she has. Verses 16 to 18, she considers a field and buys it. Now that's something. You say, Jack, you know, boy, well, I'd like to have a wife like that who considers a field and goes and buys it. You know, you can have a woman like this who considers a field and goes and buys it. Listen, from her profits, she plants a vineyard. This is an amazing thing. I'm going to give you the definition of these two beautiful, colorful Hebrew words. When she considers the field, check this out. She entertains the vision. Okay, ladies, only you can do this, I think, to the best. This is the Martha Stewart in you. She looks at a field and she already sees the vineyard producing grapes and she sees everything. She sees it done. She's a visionary. This is an amazing thing. She sees and entertains the vision of it. She counts the cost of the investment, the word means. We would say today, by counting the cost and seeing a vision for business, we use these kinds of terms. An industrialist, a capitalist, an entrepreneur, that's what she is. And you know what I love about this? The whole time I was reading this. This is a woman who's confident enough in her marriage. She's got the peace and the freedom and the strength. Can you imagine when she gets back home? She comes back home and she's there and whenever her husband, they get together, she says, you know what? I saw a field today, beautiful field. I bought it. I got a plan for this field. It's going to be great. He doesn't go, oh, what? A field? Are you nuts? He trusts her, remember? You guys, you're going to take issue with me on this, but I'm talking about Bible here. What is implied is that the husband says, tell me about it. What are you going to do? Let me in on the vision. I'd like to know. He's not sitting at home with the apron on. He's not, you know, burping the babies or whatever. She's got kids or that stage has passed in life. Man, you've got your business, mister. You're doing your thing. You're working or you're doing whatever you're doing. She has a life also, and it's not a threat. It's wonderful. And she shares, you know what? I saw this plot of land. I bought it today with the proceeds and the profits I've had with my investments. And you'll read about that in a moment. She's a wise investor. And he, what is implied, says, tell me about it. She says, all right, I'm going to plant a vineyard. I'm going to do this. And we're going to sell this stuff. And have you ever heard this saying, whatever they touch turns to gold? Well, that's a saying. But what it really means is, you know what? They're really disciplined about what they do. They know what they're doing. They got good timing and good business sense, and they know how to conduct themselves in this area. And listen, they're not lucky. God blesses. I know some people who don't even know God, and God has blessed them so much, and they think they're lucky. God has blessed them. The Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. They're not saved yet anyway, but they've got so much in this world, yet without God, but He gave them the ability. Amazing. She plants a vineyard. By the way, this word plants, it's her physical labor. She actually does it. She rolls up her sleeves and dives into it. Amazing. Verse 17, she girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. This is a great word. All of this is just fantastic. And deep when you get into the original Hebrew meaning and word structure, the word gird is she wraps up her waist. She makes her waist strong and healthy. She's fit. Literally, the word means she's fit. Some commentators mention that she actually is so much involved and so active and so willing to roll up her sleeves because that's what she can do, that she keeps herself in good health because of her vitality. But this word means that she girds herself, she wraps her waist tightly so that she can work with strength and work in a healthy way. Then this word strength means boldness or with determination. And she just goes after it. And the word strengthens means to endure. It means to stick to it. She stays at it until it's done. Verse 18. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. This is a great, great character quality. She perceives that her merchandise is good. Two key words. Perceives, the word means she tastes it herself. That's what that word means. Perceives. She, in the Hebrew, tastes it herself. She tasted it. Whatever it is. She tasted it. It's great. She perceives that it's very, very good. The word good means better. Listen, this is great. The word means better or the best or better than anything else. She has put effort into whatever she's doing that it's the best. She's committed to that. I think I want to insert this right here. We don't know the age of this woman in verse 18. We don't know the age of this woman at this moment. Her kids could be 40 years old by now. Her kids could be 20. Her kids could be 10. I don't know. We know that her kids are going to speak to her in a moment. We're going to hear their words. But I personally believe that verse 18 or any of these verses cannot really happen. Cannot really happen without the kids knowing that their mom loves them. I guess what I'm saying is she doesn't say, "Hey, Junior, go eat some, you know, paint chips. I got to go build my empire." She doesn't say to her daughter, "You know what, figure it out for yourself. I've got to go bring home my latest entrepreneur trophy." And I think that's an important thing that goes on both sides. We can get so caught up as men trying to grab that golden ring that's going around on that donkey or whatever that merry-go-round thing is and miss it. And wake up too late and your kids don't even care to know who you are. They don't even return your calls anymore. Because you grew up thinking that if I just provide for them this stuff, they somehow through osmosis will discern that the house we live in and the things that we have tells them I love them. Dad, that does not work. That does not work. There's no substitute, including gifts, that can take the place of your actual love with your kids. Mom, Dad, be there. I remember the day that I met my wife, met Lisa. People often ask us when they invite us over for dinner, where did you guys meet? I think they expect that we're going to say, in a church. No, we didn't meet in a church. We met at the beach. Back in those days, I had a great job, and I had to just call in a few times to make sure everything was going fine. Outside of that, I got to play volleyball at the beach. I was at Newport Beach. I saw this girl, and I said, "Man, she's cute." And a friend of mine, Rick, said, "You want me to introduce her? I know her." And we met. And the rest, you know, that was 28 or more years ago. But I asked her out that day. I met her that day and I asked her out to go out that night. And when I picked her up, within, I don't know, you can ask her later, but I'm thinking within maybe a couple of hours, have you met each other? She had already said to me, I'm going to work, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to work until I give birth to my first child. And after that, if I'm poor, I'm poor. I am going to be that child's mommy. And I'll put my life on the side, and then when that kid or kids grow up, then I'll pick up the pieces and go from there. But the kids first. And I heard that. I'd never heard a woman say that before. And this was only a few hours after knowing her. And then she'd open her mouth again about something. And it was like incredible. She was 18 years old. And I was, what'd you say? I think that this is the way, and boom, you know, wham. That's wise. And she was of a character and of a quality that I remember distinctly after about a month, because I really started to like her. And so, do you know what? You know what? When a guy does, when you really start to like somebody that's very special, you turn into an absolute idiot. I started to get scared that, man, she's something. I've never seen anybody or met anybody like this before. And I could, what if I lose her? You know, you build up these incredible doomsday, you know, apocalyptic scenarios. And in my mind, I'm thinking, man, I don't know. And I tried to self-destruct the relationship because I could just, this is too good to be true. She's too good to be true. And I was acting all weird. You know, she said, 18, girls, listen, 18 years old. Lisa says, you know what? You have something to work out. I can see that. Listen what she said. She said, you go do what you ever need, whatever you have to do. You know where I live. When you come out of it, I'll be waiting for you there. 18 years old. Well, okay, all right, whatever, okay, fine, sure, right. Dope! But the commitment, her commitment to the kids, to the home, to the... It was awesome. And the family, the commitment to the family overrode dreams of hers that maybe I don't even know about. But God knows. A walk on water kind of woman, she's compassionate toward others, verses 19 to 21. She stretches out her hands to the what's called the distaff or the weaver's rod. She's working, she's spinning fabric together. But look at this. She's compassionate towards others. She's working. She knows what it's like to work hard. Look at verse 20. She extends her hands to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. This is a beautiful word. She reaches out. She knows what it's like to sweat. And because of that, she gives part of her income to helping those out of her generosity and compassion. This is a wonderful woman. She has a healthy view of her ingenuity, that it's come from God, and she's grateful. And she blesses those who are unable. Verse 21, she is not afraid. Listen to this. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. This is a great verse because I did a lot of study on this and nobody knows exactly what it means. All these great ancient scholars, they don't know what it means. Why? Here's the reason. They know the front end of the verse. They understand that. Not afraid. She's prepared her house for difficult days. If the bad weather's coming, she's got clothes already made for them to wear in the bad weather. Are you with me, everybody? Now watch this. She clothes them with scarlet. No one knows what that means. They speculate. It means that they're warmed by wearing the proper clothing. Okay, that's fine. And it's bright colored clothing. Well, it is red. Okay, so what? It could mean that they're warm and safe. Well, that's sure. That makes it clear. They are warm and safe, aren't they? One scholar says there's no doubt about it. No matter what condition they are, they're loved, they're comfortable, they're warm, and they're colorful to see the kids. Well, that's kind of, you know, remember Joseph's coat of many colors? Okay. And then one guy, I think it was J. Vernon McGee, possibly said, they're warm, they're loved, they're safe, and they're easy to see in the snow. Big red parka, you know. Isn't that just like, Mom, come here, put this on. Zip it up. Mom, it's only 72. You know, zip it up and put your scarf on. You know, it's kind of cute. Verses 22 to 24, a walk on water kind of woman, she's well regarded by others. Listen to this. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. She has nice stuff. Listen, she makes it herself. The word means that she gathers it, designs it. She uses her own resources for her own clothing. She's creative and industrious. Okay, and the word fine is that she dresses the fine linen that she has. It's tastefully beautiful. She's well-dressed. She has an honoring appearance. This is 3,000 years old. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates. That means he has some sort of position that others will respect. But watch this. When he sits among the elders of the land, he's got a place of influence. But watch this, as this begins to unfold. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Now, some of your Bible versions say that she supplies girdles for the merchants. Okay, the word means leather belts. And so I think the King James translators put the word girdles in there. She makes girdles. She makes fine garments and sells them and supplies girdles to the merchants like Victoria's Secret or something. I don't know. That's not what it means. She makes belts for the craftsmen. She not only has a woman's line of clothing, she makes leather belts for woodworkers and stonemasons. Wow. Verses 25 to 27, she's gracious to be with. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. The word rejoice in time to come means that she will be satisfied with the labor of her hands. She will be satisfied by her own hard work. You who work hard, you know there's nothing more satisfying than to know at the end of the day, you have worked hard. And there's a peace about that. And God honors that. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. This is beautiful. Good. The word means that good things come out of her mouth. Wise words. Kind words. And she disperses mercy when she opens her mouth. The word also implies that when she comes into a place, this is a great thing. No wonder why people want to be around this lady. When she comes into a place, there is an atmosphere of graciousness and mercy. She is very, very well regarded and well respected. Verse 27, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness or laziness. She, the word here to watch means to peer over the wall to see what's coming up so that she's ready. She's not about to be lazy. Verses 28 to 29, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. The word blessed means, listen to this, her children rise up and say, you're right. You're correct, Mom. It was proper what you've said or done. That's what it means. They rise up and they say, Mom, you're right. Boy, Mom, wouldn't you love to hear that? You're right, Mom. And he praises her. Get a load of this. Ladies, write it down. Men, get ready for an instruction. The word praise, it means to boast, to rave, to celebrate, to give glory, to shine or let shine your wife. Well, Pastor, I'm not going to, you know, boast. And I'm too humble to boast. Well, you better change that because you need to boast in her. You know, the guys that get together and consume their wives. Oh, man, you know what my wife, you know what my wife did? Those guys, well, I'm not going to say what those guys should have done to them, but that's unbelievable. They're probably wearing the clean underwear that she washed while he tears her down. Shame on you. She should have left your underwear the way that they came to her in. And usually you see guys mouthing off like that. They're a little bit older, so their big belly's hanging over their belt, and they're tearing her down. She can't do nothing. Well, it looks like she's been able to feed you just fine. Well, she's worth nothing. Man, that's terrible. Horrible. That should never happen. Ever. You should praise her. Yeah, but I don't know, Jack. I don't have that kind of wife. Why don't you start praising her? Watch what happens. A little bit of encouragement, you know, goes a long way. Her husband praises her. Listen to what he says. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. The word excel means you've passed them by. You've gone forth. You've gone beyond them. You've gone where no woman has gone before. You're out beyond them all, he says of her and about her. And then finally, verses 30 to 31, the end here, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears or is in awe of the Lord, she shall be praised. Listen quickly. Charm is human favor. Appearances. You know what it implies? Everybody loves you when you're cute. Everybody, girls, everyone's going to open the door for you when you're cute. The Bible says that human favor passes away. Deceit, deceitfulness, that's a lie. It's a false reality. The word means it's a show. It's a facade. So, this appearance, this human favor, it's a lie. It's a falsehood. Beauty is passing. Fair looks, a pleasant look. It's not going to last forever. It's a passing thing. It's in transit. It comes and it's gone. You know, that's true for all of us. It's the character that's going to count. It's not what is perceived. Verse 31 and we're done. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. This word simply means she will receive tremendous public recognition, influence, a good name because of the diligence and the work of her hands. This is how Solomon, the wisest man in the world, saw fit to have his book end. Was it the writing of Bathsheba, his mom? Did Solomon write it, having watched her? All we know is this. The woman that is described here is a woman who lives a life. And these characteristics are built one upon another. And let me end with this encouragement. You don't have to be a male or a female to read these verses. I don't know men who are doing this. So what's the answer? The answer is, over the course of our life lived, there's going to come a time, perhaps, by the grace of God, we can back up and look over 40, 50 years lived. And there are event marks along the way where you can say, I remember this in my life. Remember when we remember that and remember this? And she says, I remember when I did that. And I didn't recognize it at the time, but I guess I was a little bit of an entrepreneur when that happened. And I didn't realize it. And well, I just got up early because I just loved the morning and thought I would do something with my hands. And over the years, when you look back over a life lived, God was in it. It's my prayer that in our lives and in this church that God does a work. That when it's all done, church, when we're over, when it's over, then God will say, hey, Calvary, look, you fed that family there in Mali, Africa. We did? Yeah, and then that one family in Russia, that man was about ready to go commit suicide. You guys were given the gospel there at that metro stop. You know what? He wound up getting saved that day. You prayed with him, led him to the Lord. He went home. Look at his kids. They all came to the Lord, and his wife came to the Lord. We don't know what's going to happen. Oh, my goodness. And somebody could walk up to you, they could, and say in that day, you were wise to take 2,000 dollars and buy a ticket and go live for 2 weeks in Russia and travel and preach Jesus and hand out bottles of water or feed the kids there at the orphanage there in Moscow. You were wise. You were smart with your hands. That was tremendous what you did. And we're going to go, I did? Really? What? You were wise. Ladies, girls, there's enough that has already happened in your life that if I or some other stranger could look at it, we could say, you were wise in that thing. Do more of that. You did the right thing there, girl. Keep going on that one. You may not even see it. God is going to bless you. He's blessing you. Just open your eyes up to see that. Good thing is, He's not done with any of us, is He? Father, thank You for Your truth. Thank You for Your Word. Lord, thank You for Your love for us. We ask You, Lord, that now having spent these months in the book of Proverbs, that, Lord, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, dear God, that Your precious Spirit would see the Word that has now been hidden in our hearts, and that, Lord, He would live it out of us, through us. Father, we ask You to take now, which is instilled in us as our responsibility, to ask You, Lord, to help us now to live out these truths. Father, I pray for every young lady in here, every young girl. Lord, I pray, especially this time of the year with graduation and stuff, Father, I pray that You just give them, baptize them with wisdom. Lord, cause them to see themselves extremely valuable. Even if somebody's put them down or someone has somehow communicated to them that they're not worth much, Lord, tell them the truth. Let them hear the truth, that they are worth heaven and earth. So much so that Jesus would come to this earth to give them life and meaning and forgiveness of sins and glory. To someone who's on the other side, maybe now elderly and alone, wondering, did I ever do it right? Did it ever work out? Lord, I pray that You would encourage that wonderful saint. And Lord, that she would know the amazing return on her investment. Father, in Jesus' name, we give You our lives and we thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. And sorry, we went over. We went way over.